Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Who, between the two of us, Mike Harmon and I, have combined to complete one less pass than Mac Jones tonight.
That's right.
Against the Bills. And I'll tell you, Mike Harmon, 9:15 to go in the third quarter. Patriots lead the Bills 11-7. Mac Jones, one pass, one completion, 12 yards. That's it.
He is operational efficiency, baby.
Listen, no. Listen, he is so far ahead of Tom Brady at this point in his career. I mean, that pass he threw in the first half may be the best first half pass in the history of the National Football League. Nobody is throwing one pass in the first half like he can. I can't say enough about how integral he is to how well the Patriots are playing because of that one 12-yard pass in the first half. No, nobody else can throw a pass like that. Nobody else can do that. Only Mac Jones. He's the only guy. He may be a Hall of Famer after this year. He may just be that good.
Well, what was great about it, it was a terrible pass, and Jonnu Smith had to do a circus act to bring it in.
Yeah.
12-yard completion, that's first down. Yeah. But you got to love it, right? You only have to attempt one pass. You get to wear a scuba suit, as our buddy Rich Ornberger put out on Twitter, something that Tom Brady passed down to Brian Hoyer, and Brian Hoyer passed down to Mac Jones. It's good stuff. So, you know, 11-7 lead. Hey, if you could throw one pass and win a game, and not, hey, I came in the fourth quarter and threw one pass. No, you played the entire game and you throw one pass and you walk away with a victory. I mean, that's about as good as it gets. Not good for fantasy owners.
No,
second quarterback in a league, or before you realize the winds were going to be 35 miles an hour and such a pain that you maybe put in some daily fantasy work. It's just, it's just been a miserable event to watch.
But doesn't this game have to end with him throwing one pass? I mean, doesn't this game have, like Belichick saying, okay, enough of how great Mac Jones is. He's not. I'm going to prove to you that we don't need a quarterback to win, that I'm the genius here. Mac, we're up 11-7. We're not going to throw a pass until we're losing the game. I wonder if that's Belichick right now. Seriously, we're not going to throw another pass until we're losing this game. And that may not happen. It may happen. We got to throw. I'm not going to just give away a game. It's a very big game. But we're not going to throw a pass unless we're losing this game. And I want to win this game throwing one pass. And then all of a sudden, how good Mac Jones is turns into, how smart Bill Belichick is. Doesn't it have to go that way?
Seems to me at some point when they're going to bring as many guys into the box as they are, assuming you're not throwing the ball, that you at least take one shot up, even if it becomes a punt, that you throw it up to try to make a play. I don't know, just me. But, you know, that you had that run from Damian Harris where once he got to the second level, a little bit of a cutback, and he was off to the races. Like, that's it. That could be the game right there. One play. And it's not like it's a torrential downpour, right? We saw rain in so many other places. Hell, in Chicago, people couldn't get in. $17 for tickets was the get-in before the kickoff, and just now Josh Allen right on cue, as I say it, you take a shot downfield, and Stephon Diggs couldn't bring it in. So there you go. That's just perfect for you and I in our fantasy fortunes as well.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. I wonder if they win this game, he's going to look back and say, Bill, do you have any regrets in this game? Yeah, throwing that one pass. I wanted to win the game without throwing a pass. Like we're Army in 1943, and this is how we won games. We just gave the ball to Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside, and that was it. We didn't throw a pass. Sometimes Army would go weeks and months without throwing a pass. The forward pass used to be illegal. It's not a great thing. I don't like it. We don't need it. I was upset we had to throw that pass.
Because of his love of NFL history, though, he might go into a 5,000-word diatribe about the history of games where that didn't happen. You know, basically pulling a Cliff Clavin in his hoodie going, hey, you wouldn't believe this, but here's some of the data points. And people will be like, well, no, I saw them on the broadcast because as it got into the fourth quarter, that's all they could do to try to make things interesting was pull up every stat and data point about a quarterback more or less just running side to side and handing the ball off.
Look, and let's be honest when we talk about Mac Jones, okay? Because this is kind of where it is. I don't know why so many people are so – they want to fall over themselves to say what a great quarterback he is. He's not. He's been good, right? He's been good. He's going to end the season with 20-some-odd touchdowns, maybe 22 touchdowns, right? That's what he's going to do. What's he – a lot of quarterbacks – can win when you're not given anything to do. And Mac Jones is given nothing to do, right? Nothing to do for this. Just don't lose the game. We're going to throw the ball when we have to. We'll throw the ball. They've thrown the ball a little bit more in the last couple of weeks, but generally they don't rely on him to do anything. He's not the guy that wins games for them. Mac Jones is like the third most important thing they have on the team. There's the defense, there's the running game, and then there's Mac Jones. I mean, that's how the team is built, and the team is built phenomenally, right? This is why I picked the Patriots for the AFC Championship game before the season, because I knew this is how Belichick wanted to build his team. He's got the right quarterback for his team. Just like everything else with the Patriots are a team that goes scheme over players, but they do it different than crazy-ass teams like the Jets, where they actually bring in players they know are going to fit their system. They don't go after every free agent. They go after the guys, hey, I know he's going to fit our system. And that's why we're going. That's why I'm going to get Mac Jones, because he's going to fit exactly what I want to do. He's a rookie quarterback that's going to come in and do what we tell him to do, and that's it. He's not going to go crazy. We're not going to have him throw the football a ton. He's not going to walk away from a game and talk to the press and go, oh, I don't know what we were thinking on that one. No. You're a guy that's going to come in, execute the game plan we give you, because this is my team. Because this has now become, again, Belichick versus Brady. Okay, Tom, you won it last year. Now watch what I can do without you while I de-emphasize the quarterback position. These are all things Belichick has done. And if you think that part of it is, oh, he's not really that. No, part of it is I'm a genius. I don't want people to think it was Brady over me. So here's how I'm building this team. And this is how he built the Patriots early on. This is how they won Super Bowls in the beginning, before Tom Brady turned into the best quarterback in the NFL. Brady was the head of the snake. He was kind of like Mac Jones. But then Brady got so big, he got so popular, he got so good, he was winning games and winning Super Bowls. It's, Brady's a guy. Now this is Bill Belichick. Okay, let me show you how important a quarterback is. I'm going to draft a rookie in the first round, give him nothing to do, and then we're going to win the Super Bowl, and what are people going to say then? That's where you think it's not playing out that way? Of course it's playing out that way. Brady wanted to leave because he wanted to beat Belichick and show, I want to be happy someplace else and stick it to them. And the same thing with Belichick. He wants to stick it to Brady and go, I can win without you. I can win with a rookie. I can win with a guy that can throw one pass in a game. This is all part of Belichick's plan. It's a great plan, and it's working, but it's part of his plan.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he is averaging over 31 attempts per game coming into tonight. So it's not like he's just standing around watching the grass grow on most
weeks. But he's throwing the ball less downfield than Ben Roethlisberger.
That's fine.
I mean, he's throwing for 200 yards a game. It's not like the guy's lighting up the entire.
And he doesn't have to.
But the thing is, you see people should be fawning all over Justin Herbert, right? Oh my God, because he is phenomenal. And Joe Burrow up until yesterday. But I told you.
Yeah, and both guys will put the ball up in harm's way with some great regularity.
But
so you get
guys,
the good, you get the bad.
But these are guys whose teams live and die by them because they're just that good. And there's nobody who says anything close to Justin Herbert than what they say about Mac Jones. Oh, Mac Jones is no, if Mac Jones is so great, he wouldn't be throwing for 200 yards a game. Okay, he doesn't throw. He's had one game with more than two touchdowns. He's had five games with one or less touchdowns. I mean, Mac Jones doesn't make mistakes. He moves the team down the field when he has to. But again, he is like the third or fourth most important thing on that team. So let's just, when we say, hey, Mac Jones is playing well, Mac Jones is a game manager. All right, but because he's a Patriot and because we want him to be Tom Brady, because everybody loved the Tom Brady conversation for 20 years, let's make Mac Jones Tom Brady again for the decade plus. It's going to be awesome. Let's really pump him and give him more credit than he's getting. The guy has been good. He's been the best rookie quarterback. He clearly is playing in a system that takes advantage of what he does. But the guy's not reinventing the wheel. He's not throwing the Patriots to victory. He's not a guy that's saying, get on my back and I'll do it. He's not making the guys around him better. He's someone who executes what they give him according to the game plan. That's which, the reality
which would
for
be
Mac Jones.
Great for a lot of other quarterbacks to actually do that in the National Football League, because we could just rattle off a bunch of guys like, yeah, this is great. And then you actually have him try to make a pass. Baker Mayfield, Matt Ryan, pick any of them. And they can't. And they fail. I mean, how many times do you see Matt Ryan lines riddle your timeline at this point? Yet everybody's like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's like, look at the stats. It's like, why? Why? But Mac Jones, he's doing exactly what Tom Brady did when he started his run. So the comparison's apt, not just because he's also wearing every once in a while a little Patriot pad on the side of his helmet. You do what is asked of you. Could Mac Jones throw for 300 yards a game somewhere else attempting the same number of passes? Sure, probably, if that's what they called on him to do. A lot of guys fall into some pretty bad numbers, Jason. Zach Wilson.
He doesn't fall into bad numbers. He collects them. He doesn't fall.
Well, he went around with numbers. A giant trash bag yesterday, yeah. Looking for him as he was outdueled by Gardner Minshew, his mustache, and that bomber jacket that he was wearing after the game. Yeah, good times. But for Mac Jones, I mean, look, you do what the script asks for, right? If you're on set for a TV show or whatever job you may do, here's the rules of engagement, and here's how we put things together, and this is what you need to do. Hell, everybody getting ready to buy furniture at IKEA for the holiday season. You got to try to translate the blueprint and make it work, right? For Mac Jones, it's, all right, we run the football, we play good defense. Occasionally, we're going to need you to make a throw. 16 touchdowns, 8 interception, 2-1 ratio, you'll take it. Is it great? No. Is he bombing away like so many of these other quarterbacks? No. But that's fine. That's fine.
He's been fine. Exactly. You're saying he's been fine. He's been good enough.
That's all he needs to be.
Right. But he's not the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. And the way he's come in as a rookie, you think, well, we got Peyton Manning again. No, we don't have Peyton Manning again. We got a guy that just does what he's told to do and executes the offense the way they want him to do. You're handing the ball off first and foremost. Here's a game where they could win this game and he might not throw more than one pass in a game. So how important is the quarterback in this offense if that's the case?
Yes. No. See, I'm just going to go to the. You know, you're giving air to crappy analysis by blowhards
it's
in our industry.
Every analysis.
No, that's
of
fine. So
what
name
can
them
I
by
say
name.
Over the top
just
about
do,
Mac
just
Jones.
Just do the laundry list of all these jokers that are trying to find some hyperbole and making stuff up as they go along. That's all that is. He's done the job. He's fit the suit. He's Johnny Bravo. There you go. I took a Brady Bunch reference and I brought it into 2021. You need a guy that's just going to fit the suit. And that's what he's doing. And he's played well enough. But to think he's world-beating and he's not called upon to be that guy. So I don't even know what he can be. What's the ceiling? I mean, you got N'Keal Harry. You got Nelson Aguilar. You paid for the tight ends, so one of them gave you your one reception there for the night, and Jonnu Smith. Hunter Henry's been fantastic in the red zone when called upon. That's all you got. You don't have a bunch of burners on the outside. See, everybody starting to Photoshop Stephon Diggs into a Patriots uniform, though, which is kind of fun, but which would be terrifying for you. But, you know, for Mac Jones.
What a wiker. I've seen them win a lot in the past 20 years. What's another year?
What's another 20 years?
Right. What do I care?
Same old song and dance, baby.
I will say one thing. Outside of Mac Jones, how embarrassing is this for the Bills? They're losing this game when the Patriots are running every single play and the Bills can't stop them.
Well, they got the field goal as a gift from some shoddy officiating.
Oh, boy.
Josh Allen got to the edge, for those that missed the play, goes towards the edge and is still in bounds, tries to reach for the first down and gets hit, and they call a roughing, an unnecessary roughness penalty. It's like he's still in the air reaching for the first down. Even the two quarterbacks on the alternate feed thought it was nonsense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Keep getting better as you age with M-Drive, the daily supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone production to boost your natural strength and energy. Find it at mdriveformen.com. That's mdriveformen.com. Don't let age beat you. Get M drive. Well, right now, late in the third quarter, Patriots and the Bills. It is an 11-10 lead for New England. The Patriots still have only thrown the ball once tonight. One pass from Mac Jones, complete for 12 yards. Every other play has been a run. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it a few minutes ago. It doesn't matter that Bill Belichick is out coaching and out scheming the Bills. When you know the other team is running the ball on every play and they still control the clock like this, that's so embarrassing for Buffalo. All the Sean McDermott, what a great head coach. It's, oh, wow, he's really just getting used right now by Belichick. We're going to run the ball every play and you can't stop us. And we're just going to keep. When it's second and 10, third and 10, we're running the football and we're going to get a first down. That is so embarrassing.
Well, I mean, look, they gave up the big one big run, obviously, to Harris, and then the bold decision to kick the field goal after successfully scoring the two-point conversion. So it's like, is it all going to be all two-point conversions tonight? No, we actually have field goal kickers that are bold. I love it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith with Mike Harmon. We'll have more on this game throughout the night. Joining us now on the hotline to help us break down everything in the National Football League, a man who still, even though they've played another game since then, has just written 15,000 words on Syracuse's double overtime win over Indiana last week.
Oh, boy.
It is CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfor. What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Jay, buddy.
I'm sorry. I was watching the Aqib Talib sign off on the Manning cast, and I got a little distracted.
Oh, no, that's okay.
But how could you not?
I want to let you know, you didn't miss another forward pass. So if you thought you missed a forward pass, you didn't get one. Don't worry about it.
You know what, though? I appreciate this for what it is, and nobody in the history of mankind appreciates this for more than what it is than Bill Belichick. I mean, this is probably, like, his dreamscape, except the only thing that could be better is if it was on, like, Christmas Eve or like in the playoffs or something. But this is, I mean, you're watching this, you know, and you're seeing what he's doing and you're thinking he tolerated, and I'm using tolerated in air quotes, but like he tolerated Tom Brady being the best quarterback in the history of the world for 20 years because he had to. But like if he really, really, really had his druthers, right? Like if you really gave him truth serum, he'd rather win 11-10, running the ball 57 times and holding you to 2.3 yards per play on, you know, his defense. Like, that's who he is. Like, that's absolutely positively who he is. He would like to play rugby, suffocate you, shove it down your throat with his run game, and just completely stymie your offense. Like, that's a perfect day.
Yeah, and stick it to Brady in the process. You thought Tom was the guy winning Super Bowls. Let me show you who's winning Super Bowls here. I guarantee you if he wins this game and you gave him that shot of truth serum, you said, hey, what's your biggest regret about this game? He would say, I wish we didn't throw the football that one time. I wish I didn't have Mac throw that ball. I wish we just ran every single play and not had the quarterback throw.
Well, that would be his dreamscape. I mean, his dreamscape would be like, fellas, we ran 62 plays today, and 61 were running plays, and we averaged 5.2 per carry, and we gave up no explosive plays, and we sacked the quarterback four times, and like, yeah, that's, I mean, this is his world. We're just living in it.
His opportunity for the history lesson to us all. Jason, you're out there in Baltimore. What was the reaction to the two-point conversion, and how's your back pedal? Can you play any kind of cornerback or safety position?
No, I can't play. I play nothing. I talk and write for a living, and I get fatter by the day.
You and me both, my friend.
Look, the two-point conversion's kind of really neither here nor there. I mean, it was a decent call, and there was an opportunity there, and Lamar couldn't get the ball around Watt into Andrew's hands. But the Steelers had run, I think, 24 plays for 188 yards in the fourth quarter, like as well as great as the Ravens' D defense played for three quarters of that game. They were falling apart in the fourth quarter, and they are one of the worst fourth quarter defenses in the NFL, even though they're the best red zone defense and the best third down defense. And there's a lot of metrics. They're one of the best rushing defenses in the NFL. They're not a good fourth quarter defense because they don't produce big plays. They don't produce sacks, and they don't turn people over. So I totally get it. And I think most reasonable Ravens fans get why they went for it on the road with a chance to go two games up on Cincinnati when they're running out of corners because, you know, Marlon Humphrey's now hurt now and you know, they've been decimated at that position all season long. And, like, the other team has had the ball the entire fourth quarter, and it's probably not our day, but maybe we'll steal this one. Like we stole the Lions game, like we stole the Bears game, you know, like they stole the Vikings game. Like this has been going on all season long. But they're a very flawed football team, very flawed. I mean, they're got a minus -8 turnover differential. No bueno. They've allowed two more touchdowns than they've scored, which is 10th best in the AFC, no bueno. They've been held to 19 points or less in five of the last six games, no bueno. They have seven plays over 25 yards in their last seven games. Meanwhile, they've allowed the third most plays over 25 yards in the NFL all year, no bueno. Is this really sustainable? You know, is this the hallmarks of a good team, or is this the hallmarks of a team that plays above its weight class, that punches really, really hard till the end, that plays well for its coach, but is really not that good when you factor in the injuries? And they're 1-2 in the division. They're 5-4 in the AFC. They're 3-3 in their last six games after that five-game winning streak. And they still have to play at the Browns, the Packers, the Rams, at the Bengals, and the Steelers. Good luck.
Jason Lock and Four with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so to get outside of that, we get to a team hot in the AFC that still is struggling but still wins games. The Chiefs win last night. The offense doesn't look good again.
No.
The defense is looking better. Are you believing in the Chiefs? Do they still have problems? Because every week I go, yeah, they won, but boy, I'm not really thinking they've turned the corner.
No, they're nothing special. I mean, look, they're like most of the teams in this league. I mean, are the Chiefs better than the Bengals? No. I mean, they might end up winning a game more than the Bengals, or they might be end up tied with the Bengals, but I don't think there's a marked difference. I mean, are the Chiefs markedly better than the Ravens? I mean, they're better than the Ravens, I guess, but I don't know about markedly. And here's the reality for Patrick Mahomes. I think the last 4 weeks he's averaging 218 passing yards and 0.4 passing touchdowns per game, which means less than half of one passing touchdown per game. And I think there's a lot of similarities between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson's forcing everything to Mark Andrews. Patrick Mahomes is forcing everything to Tyreek Hill, and it's getting picked off quite a bit. Both teams' run game is kind of hit or miss. Offensive line play is but the difference is the defenses for both teams have stepped up the last few weeks, and I'm not sure which one is more real than the other and what either defense is going to look like in January, but I do know that Chris Jones is a bleep, 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 bleep. Like, he's a you can't really block him with two most of the time. And the Ravens don't have anybody like that on their front four. So, look, Kansas City is going to probably win that division. And Kansas City might be the one seed. I don't know. I mean, New England could be. It's very much a week-to-week league. But I would not write the Chiefs off whatsoever, especially once they stop playing around with Chris Jones as the defensive end and got back to playing Chris Jones as a defensive tackle.
Jason, let me circle back towards you with Washington suddenly 6-6. The Cowboys beat the Saints, but suddenly Taylor Heineke and these the Washington football team back to 500, two of the next three against the Cowboys. Can they steal this division?
I don't know about stealing the division, but they could get in the playoffs. I mean, the NFC is really, really watered down. I think there's fewer legit teams in the NFC than the AFC. The AFC has, by and large, kicked the NFC's ass in head-to-head play. And I think there's the margin for error in the NFC is a little wider than the AFC. I think in the AFC you can have a, you know, 10-17, 10-7 team miss out. In the NFC, you might have 2-8-9 teams in. They're all so flawed. I have to give full marks to Ron Rivera and company because I didn't see this coming. When Chase Young goes down, they look like a wounded team that was ready to lick their wounds and, you know, call it a day and play for 2022. And they've come, and Sweat has been banged up as well, and they have just absolutely dominated people. I mean, just in terms of not the box score, but physicality. Like, they are winning games in the trenches in a way they haven't in a long time. And Antonio Gibson is a thing, and Heineke is a thing, and Jonathan Allen is a big, big thing. I mean, he is at another level. And, you know, I don't know how healthy Dallas will be for these games. I mean, they better hope they're really, really healthy. I think Dallas is still going to win this division. But I also think Dallas is not a juggernaut, and Dallas has its vulnerabilities. And I wouldn't rule the Eagles out either. I mean, the Eagles should have beat the Giants last week, which would have really put them in great stead right now. But I mean, the Eagles gave up 264 yards to the Giants. They gave up 250 yards to the Jets. They're running for about 225 a game the last 9 weeks. They're going to get Jalen Hurts back. We got to see a little bit of Minshew and what that looks like. They're a dangerous team, and they don't have to get on a plane again the rest of the year. It's all train travel or home games, and it's a lot of games within the division, and a lot of teams that still have to come to Philadelphia. So that division is much more interesting 2 weeks removed from Christmas than I ever thought it would have been.
All right, now lastly, Jay, because listen, you talked about guys who become a thing and teams who become a thing. There's no bigger thing than the Lions. I mean, really, that's the biggest. I mean, that's the biggest thing is the Lions right now.
Well, look, I'm glad they won. They should have won many games this year. The first meeting with the Vikings, they probably should have won. The game against the Ravens, they should have won. The game where they drew, you know, had the tie against the Steelers, they should have won. So they were overdue to win one, and the fact they had to move, you know, 85 yards or whatever down the field to do so with not much time left, more power to them. But with everything that happened, you know, in Oxford, Michigan, which is, you know, pretty close to Detroit, and with everything that team has had to deal with, I'll tell you this. Detroit has a lot more going for them right now than some other teams in this league. A lot more going for them than the Texans. A lot more going for them than the Jags. Maybe even, you know, more going for them than the Jets. So that's a low bar to clear, and I'm not telling you that they're a juggernaut. But that team has punched above their weight class with more regularity than most of the dregs of the league. And for whatever that's worth, salute Dan Campbell.
He's on Twitter at Jason Lockenfour. That is at Jason Lockenfour, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great week.
See you, Jason. Great. Be good.
Great stuff there from Jason Lock and Fora. And, you know, the funny thing is, talking to my family after the game yesterday, they all want to call and say, oh, thank God we won. I go, but you had already tied. And they go, no, we had to win. We couldn't have a tie. We could still be 0-16 with a tie. And that's so embarrassing. No, we're not just 0-16. We're 0-16-1. No, we had to win this game. And now everybody wanted to talk football. All my relatives in Detroit all wanted to talk football yesterday. First time they wanted to talk non-Michigan football in like 3 years. I mean, Michigan football all the time, but non-Michigan, first time in like years they wanted to do
it. Well, I mean, early on it was discussions of Matthew Stafford because, you know, he was looking good here to start things. I remember you were lamenting some of the calls you were receiving about that. Now this guy's going to play football?
Yeah, but Matthew Stafford, who was here in L.A.
Yes.
Like, he was a long-lost friend who, Jason lives near Matthew Stafford. Let me call and make sure
he's
okay.
You know what happened to that guy? He got out. You know, he did good. For Jared Goff, a huge win. I guess there were cheers when it was shown up on the board there at SoFi. So some folks still supporting the guy shuffled off. And certainly they had a laugher, so they needed something to be entertained by as that game wore on. But for the Detroit Lions, yeah, a lot of near misses for the Fighting Campbells. We even joked about it yesterday. I had Ephraim Salam in with me on Fox Football Sunday, and we talked about it, and he goes, at what point do you keep, you know, do you have to stop saying today's the day? Because there have been so many near misses. Just like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I can't pick them. And then Adam Thielen goes out so fast. That is like, okay, that kind of changes everything now, doesn't it?
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
And thanks to Justin Frostberg for digging up that Bills-Jets game from 74 that saw the Bills win despite just throwing two passes. Amazing stuff. I put a link to the YouTube highlights on Twitter at How About a Fresca.
Showing that now, you've been able to lose in myriad ways for
so many ways.
Your entire
so many
life.
Ways. Team threw the ball twice, we lost. And boo to Bill Belichick now. Come on, man. You were winning the game with one thrown ball. You threw the ball twice on the last possession, and the Patriots couldn't get a first down, and now the Bills are driving with 3.5 minutes left to go down by 4. Are you trying to prove a point or not? We're going to throw the ball once. Don't throw the ball 3 times. It doesn't do anything. It's still the Bills in the record books now with those two passes.
Well, the bigger issue is I have no idea why on the second down play he was throwing the football. 6:51 remaining. Nah. You're grinding clock like it's going on. I mean, you're in the fourth quarter. This isn't the first quarter anymore where it's like, all right, let's mix it up. You've had a successful run, over 30 straight runs. Stevenson, yeah, he ran from -1 on that first down play, but then you throw an incomplete pass. Like, you just gave him a timeout. What are you doing? And then you throw it again. Okay, it's complete. It's like another run for 7 yards. But it's like, why would you suddenly veer away? Oh, we have them now. Yeah, that's fine if you take the shot downfield on third down. Not on second, but just dopey. So no longer will we have the Patriots behind.
No,
Joe
boo.
Ferguson.
Boo.
Because, I mean, that jersey would have gone to the Hall of Fame and boo. The scuba suit underneath it.
Boo. Are you trying to prove a point or not? Are you trying to show us I don't need a quarterback to win? Then why the hell are you throwing the football? Unless that was part of Bill Belichick's plan, which was, hey, now I'm going to throw the football a couple of times. People will think it's a huge mistake, and they'll say, why did you throw the ball those two other times? Then it might work in retrospect. Oh, see, don't throw the football. Yes, don't trust Mac Jones. This is how it works. Maybe Belichick is now seeing ahead of what the potential criticism could be and saying, I threw the football there a couple of times, and people said, what are you doing? Why aren't you still running the football? What's happening? Are you trying to win or not? That's the genius of Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, long swayed by public opinion.
Yes, yes. So about 3.5 left to go. Bills are driving. They need a touchdown to take the lead, though. It's 14-10, New England with the lead. Now, coming up, we'll get into a couple of big stories out of college football. We have the Heisman Trophy finals have been announced. And Mario Cristobal has now left Oregon for Miami. We saw this happen earlier today. And, you know, I just thinking about this. I mean, you know how Berman would have announced this, right? When this happened, if it was on ESPN. You know how Berman
announced it, please,
right?
Please let me know. I've been waiting all day.
And clearly, TJ, no one needed a crystal ball to see crystal ball going to Miami.
Wow.
TJ.
There you have it.
Miami Hurricanes fans are saying, super, Mario is here to help us win, DJ.
Yeah, I did find it interesting how many people started to stand for Manny Diaz after what he'd done to Temple years ago. I was like, all right, isn't this just kind of the same thing?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We'll get into this coming up in a couple minutes because people still think Miami's a great job, and I don't know why. Because of a couple words that go with every single job in college football that will tell you whether or not a job is good or not. So we'll get into that, plus more on the Bills and the Patriots as the Bills are trying to find a way to win this game when the Patriots aren't throwing the ball at all. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio.